Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Did you bring a Bible to church today that isn't glowing, that doesn't require a charger? Did you bring a physical Bible? If you got a Bible, go with me today to Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. And I have to be honest with you, I woke up this morning and my very first thought, don't you judge my very first thought of the day. My very first thought, it was, I don't really want to go to church and preach this sermon today. And I'll tell you why it was my first thought, because yesterday I was in a coffee shop and I was finishing up preparations for this morning's sermon, and an old friend that I haven't seen in forever walked in. I thought this person disappeared off the face of the planet because we were seeing each other on a pretty regular basis. Really just kind of, we met at a random coffee shop and happened to see each other a lot. Came to church a couple times, then didn't return my text message. I'm like, what, did I say something that offended you, or where did you go? And hadn't seen him in probably 6 months. He walked in. And I was being a great husband. I'm just saying, I was being a great husband, buying my wife coffee. I got the wrong coffee order, so I don't know if it counted or not. But I got my wife's coffee, and while it was being made, I said, hey, let's just sit down and talk, because I haven't seen you in forever. And so we talked for a little bit. And as we ended, he goes, hey, by the way, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And so I, in 60 seconds, it's going to take a lot longer than that today, just so you know, in 60 seconds, kind of gave him what I was preaching. And he goes, oh, that's not very encouraging at all. I don't know if I like that. That's challenging. And I woke up this morning, I was thinking about this conversation going, oh Lord, I don't know if I want to go to church and preach this, because I don't feel like it's very encouraging. I actually think that my buddy's right. I think it's kind of challenging. And I'm saying that kind of as a little bit of comedic relief, but as a way to go, hey, this morning, I really do believe God wants to speak to us. And I really do believe that there's a reason, there's a purpose that you're here. In particular, if you're a part of our church family, every time we gather, right, like you're a part of what God is speaking to us as a collective. And I just want to encourage you today that I think God really does have something for us to receive. And I want to encourage you just from the jump that you would open your ears and your heart to really receive from God. Just by way of validation, to know that you're here and you're with me, just someone said amen. All right, it's the universal Christian, I'm with you, amen. We're starting this series today called On Mission, On Mission. And we are talking in this series about the Great Commission. It's the call of God for every believer to live their life in a way that fully is devoted to saying, God, I want you to be able to take whatever I have and all that I am to reach the people in my world that are desperate for the love and the life of Jesus. I don't know if you know this or if you've ever considered this, but all of us today, doesn't matter our background, doesn't matter our life experience, where we are with God, all of us today, we sit here with the exact same call from God on our life. Now, I'm not trying to step on your toes and say that you're not fearfully and wonderfully made and that you're not unique and you don't have all these special qualities about you, but at the end of the day, all of us, we share this common call that first and foremost, we've been called by God. It's his desire that all of us would live this fully devoted life in relationship to him. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. He wasn't giving them a list as much as he was saying, the greatest commandment is that with everything you have, you would love God and serve God. 1 Timothy 2:4 says it's actually God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All of us, we've been called by God first and foremost to live a life that is devoted to him, that is walking to the best of our ability in continual intimate relationship with him. And second to that, every single one of us have been called by God to live and to give our life to the best of our ability, to the fullest extent, to be about reaching people for him. Soul saved, disciples made. It is the great commission that has been given to all believers. And we're starting the series today, and really the heart behind it is that we would reestablish, maybe establish for the first time in our hearts, that actually the great commission it is an essential part of our Christian faith, not an optional part. But for many believers, in particular in the West, we kind of see it as like an optional part. Now, there's some essential things. This is an optional thing, but we're seeking to just re-embrace and rediscover that, no, the Great Commission actually is an essential part of the Christian faith for all believers. You might be sitting here and you might be going, well, I don't really know if I need this, you know, because I'm pretty passionate about the things of God. Like, man, when people get saved at Easter and Christmas, I am so pumped about that. Like, I'm really engaged. And I want to just ask you, kind of for fun, but kind of as a way to provoke your thinking, some rhetorical questions that there is no guilt or condemnation in, because in all of them, the person with the microphone today does not always get a passing grade and has lots of room to grow. So we're in this together, but just for thought. Can I ask you this morning, how much time do you currently spend praying for your lost friends and family members, neighbors, and the community you're a part of? Like, I could probably guess how much time you spend on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I could probably guess how much time you may or may not spend streaming your favorite shows. I could probably guess like how much time you spend in the hobby you're most interested in, working on your golf game and trying to lower your handicap. But how much time do you think that, like, intentionally you're on your knees, if you will, calling out to God, saying, God, I got friends, I got family members, and I got people that I work with, and I got people that I live with in this community that I see at the pool every day that are desperate for God, and I'm calling out to you that you would save them. Second question, how much time do you think you spend, or let me phrase it this way, how passionate do you feel that you are for the Great Commission in relationship to other things you're passionate about? Like, you know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So, like, if I just sat down and had a casual conversation with you at whatever your favorite coffee shop or restaurant is, what's the thing that's just oozing out of you? What are you most passionate about? Is it making money? Is it climbing the corporate ladder? Is it trying to figure out a way to retire at a certain age? Is it just making memories and we want to go on this? What's the thing that you're passionate about? Is it reaching people? Is it souls saved and disciples made, as one pastor coined? The third question, and this one is where all of a sudden I start to get a little antsy. And for me, it's like outside of having a microphone in your hand. How often, or who's the last person that you shared the gospel with? Like, for me, outside of a microphone, who's the last person that I just saw an opportunity, I felt like God was opening a door, and rather than ducking and hiding, I took the opportunity to share the gospel, to share my story, to use a scripture or something that God's given me to encourage that person. Here's the last one that gets really, like, kind of antsy. In the last 12 months, how many people have come to know Christ because of you? Maybe you're not the person that actually, like, stands in, you know, front of them and you pray the prayer together, but how many people can you confidently go, you know, they, like, the reason they came to Christ and part of their story and how God freed them and helped them and saved them, it's because of my engagement. For so many Christians and believers, these questions are not to bring condemnation. Again, if you feel that way, throw it to the side as quickly as you possibly can. It's simply to provoke our thinking to go, oh, yeah, we're living in a Christian culture and a climate where the Great Commission is an optional part, not an essential part of our Christian faith. And if we're not careful, we fall victim to what the Apostle Paul said when he goes, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather be changed and transformed by the renewing of your mind to the scripture. In other words, don't just let the passions, priorities, and your life be given to what culture, to what the American dream says it's supposed to, but give your life in full to what Jesus said he's called you to do. And as we start today, I want to talk about what might seem like an interesting place to start, but I want to talk about today the authority that Jesus has, and the authority that he has in part to tell us what to do. With that in mind, Matthew chapter 28 is where I want to start today, starting the series on mission, going to two different gospel accounts of the Great Commission. Starting in Matthew chapter 28, here's what Jesus said. And Jesus came and he spoke to them, to the 12 disciples, saying this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I want to circle back and read that passage one more time. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority, all authority has been given to this guy, to me, in heaven and on earth." Next verse, "Therefore, go. Therefore, my command, my commissioning to you is that you would go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." This is where that phrase, this pastor coined, soul saved, disciples made. He says, go into all your world, into all the world, and make disciples. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news. And see people get saved. And see disciples be made. Teach them how to follow you, follow me the way I taught you how to follow me. Now, gospel account, or Great Commissioning account, second gospel, Mark 16, we're going to read this account in short. Jesus is speaking, it says, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And listen to this, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Again, we're talking about today as we start this series, how Jesus really does have authority, and in his authority, he not only commands us to go, but he authorizes us to go. If you're a title person, you want to write down the title of the sermon. Today's sermon simply is titled Mission Authority. I won't have you raise your hands because I think unanimously it applies to all of us. But how many of you just don't like to be told what to do? This guy right here, I haven't met a single person that thoroughly enjoys being told what to do. Oh, you know what I love? I love when people boss me around. Like, oh my gosh, like dream day, let's go to Starbucks, let's get a Frappuccino, and let's go through airport security, man. Like, I want people to be shouting to me, like, it's gonna be awesome. No one likes to be told what to do. Which brings me to my realization that marriage is one of the most sanctifying things in the world. In other words, God uses marriage to help you get better and grow and mature. See, when I got married, I knew I wasn't perfect, but like I thought I was pretty close, you know? Like, hey, no one's perfect, but like obviously you're marrying me because we got a good thing going on. And when I got married, I realized that part of my wife's spiritual gift from God is helping me to know I'm not perfect and I got to keep growing. And one of the things in our marriage, I got permission to tell this, by the way, last night. I'm like, hey, by the way, the sermon tomorrow, do you mind if I? And she said, only if you accurately represent me. I said, I'll accurately represent my version of the events. But one of the things in our marriage that's been like an ongoing, it's kind of a joke, because I don't want to fight about it. So it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of serious, is that there's this phrase that she says. And I don't know if you're triggered by the word triggered. I know some people, they're like, I don't believe in being triggered, but they're triggered by the word triggered, which doesn't make sense to me. But like what really just like, it gets my blood boiling a little bit. It's a little phrase that she uses. I'm going to need you to fill in the blank. Hey, I'm going to need you to unstack the dishwasher. Hey, I'm going to need you to fold the laundry that's in the dryer. hey, I'm going to need you to go ahead and take care of da-da-da. And every time she says it, for 15 years now, my first reaction is, who do you think you are? I know you're not my boss. I know you're not my mom. You're going to need me too. Let's stop right there. Every time we talk about it, I'm like, I'd prefer, hey, would you mind unstacking the dishwasher? Hey, you know what would really help me today? If you could fold the laundry. Hey, it would really increase me being in a great mood today. If you would take, like, I just, help me out, but don't, I need you to. Now, her account of the events, and she goes, no, you're misinterpreting. I'm telling you how much I need you. I'm saying, no, I need you, Brandon. And even last night, I'm making sure she's okay for me saying this, and she's giving her version, and the person who's next to us is like, nah, I'm not buying that. It just sounds bossy. Exactly, it does. But it always reminds me, like, oh, yeah, I got to grow, because I know that's not how she means it, but I just don't want you to tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. And I think there's a little bit of that in all of us. And where I see it kind of rear its ugly head oftentimes is when it comes to the subject of the Great Commission. Don't tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. No. Don't tell me what the priorities of my life should or shouldn't be. Don't you tell me what I'm supposed to be pursuing, and don't tell me what to do. And I just want to be really clear this morning. I am not telling anybody what to do. My role, to the best of my ability, is to go, hey, I'm telling no one what to do. I'm trying to help us, from a pastoral perspective, go, let's discern what Jesus is telling us to do. And what I would like to remind you of this morning as we start this series is that Jesus actually does have the authority to tell you and I what to do. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Just first thought I want you to get in your heart today is just that Jesus, he actually has the authority to command me to go. You ever have someone like, I'm going to need you to, and something in you goes, who do you think you are? Jesus goes, oh yeah, I'm the Lord. Matthew 28 verse 18 is the first scripture that we read. Often we leave it out of the Great Commission. And he says this, all authority. Hey, just so we're clear, guys. All authority has been given to me from God. God has delegated, God has given to me in heaven and on earth all authority. See, I think we forget sometimes that salvation is not a confession that Jesus is the Savior. Like one of the texts we often go to is Romans chapter 10. It's like the classic salvation text. If anybody would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they would be saved. And I think what we want it to say, in particular in our American culture, I think what we want it to say is if anybody would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is a Savior and he forgives us of our sins and he's really gracious and merciful, they would be saved. We're like, oh yeah, man, I love that. You know, because I really love my life and I love all the things that I'm doing and I'm trying to like be a better person, but I kind of like what I'm doing. And I just like, I love that Jesus loves me and just forgives me. But that's not what Romans 10 says. Romans 10, we won't read it, but it says that if anybody would believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord, they would be saved. So in other words, salvation is not a desperate plea for help. Salvation is an allegiance devoted to Jesus. Salvation is you bow your knee to him as Lord. Salvation is not, oh, Jesus, I believe you can forgive me, so please help me because I'm not a good person. No, salvation is, Jesus, you are the Lord. I am not. All the authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. You are the King. You are the Messiah. And I bow my knee. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth and I bow my knee to you as the Lord. You're the boss. You're the ruler. This guy's not calling the shots anymore. You are. What does the Bible say in John 13:13? Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." Jesus is, he's talking, he goes, hey, you something's happened in your heart that you believe and you're saying and your confession is that I am both teacher and Lord. Not a teacher, I am the teacher. That I hold the ways to life. That I hold the ability to teach and give you wisdom and understanding in all of living and that I am the Lord. And he goes, and you say, well, for so I am. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let all the house of Israel know that God, he did not make himself, that God has made this man you crucified, the Lord and the Savior. We just got to come to terms with, no, he's the boss. And so when it comes to the way I think about my living, when it comes to the way that I think about my passions and pursuits and what, like, I really want to do and my big ideas and my, like, all of those get surrendered and put at his feet as I bow my knee and say, Jesus, you are the Lord. And that means you have the authority to tell me, to command me, to commission me. And you said in the scripture that an essential part of my faith, not an optional part, but an essential part of my faith, is that you've commanded me. You've called me to live and to give my life to the best of my ability for the sole purpose. I'm trying to reach people who are far from God. And I'm trying to help people know how to follow God. I'm trying to reach those who have never heard the gospel. I'm trying to reach those who currently have a veil over their face and they can't see truth. I'm trying to preach the good news and reach people who are lost and be a part of helping people who are found to know how to grow and mature. I'm called to the Great Commission. And what I want you to glean today is that because Jesus has the authority to command you to go, he also carries the authority to authorize you in your going. If you're taking notes, you can write this down, second thought, that Jesus, he has authorized his disciples to go on his behalf. Have you ever wanted to say something before, but you held your tongue because you just didn't think it was your place? Like this past season, my daughter, she's playing soccer. And I don't know why I got so in to fourth, fifth, and sixth grade girls soccer this season, but I'm all in. And I had to ask Jesus to help me on many occasions to hold my tongue. Because I'm like, Coach! Jenny, he did it. But I hold my tongue because I'm not the coach. And I think sometimes we forget that while we want to walk in love and while we want to be led by the Spirit, that actually we don't have to be timid and afraid because the person with all of the authority has authorized us to go. I heard one pastor say it this way, that we got to remember as believers that we actually carry the responsibility to uninvitedly, unapologetically preach the truth at all times. I was sitting at a dinner table with my lovely, beautiful wife and some friends of ours who are not believers. And one of the things that I love about my wife is that she is so bold. And in a real way, part of how she helps me to grow and mature and she sanctifies me is that she encourages me in my boldness because I'm bold with a microphone. But you put me at a table at some restaurant with some good bread and pasta, and we got babysitters tonight. This we're trying to have a comfortable, relaxing evening. And we get in this conversation, and all of a sudden politics come up. And it's not really politics, like, you know, just political, you know, preferences, but it's in relationship to faith and relationship to some of the ways that culture is trying to infringe upon our ability to freely worship God. And all of a sudden, I'm watching as Jenny's leaning forward. And I'm like, does anybody need more bread? I'll go find the... And we get in the car. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was so mad. I'd never seen her that mad at me. She goes, how dare you? Are you serious right now? We had an open door opportunity tonight to preach the Bible, to like stand up for truth. And you're tapping my knee like, let's enjoy the, are you kidding me right now? So we got to get some boldness in us to remember, no, I've been authorized to go. And I'm not, I don't, in love and led by the Spirit of God, I want to be tempered, but the reality is that uninvitedly, unapologetically, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, he has commanded me to go and to proclaim the truth of God's word. The Bible says this, Matthew 28, 18 through 19, we read that scripture. Go with me to... go with me for a second to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 2. Listen to this. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 through 2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Circle back verse 1. So the 12 disciples... He called these guys together. He authorized them. In the authority that he has from God, he authorized and empowered them. And he said, I'm giving you authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But like, that's just the 12 though, man. I'm not part of the 12. Well, hold on, because Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 2, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them in the same way, two by two before his face, into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So it's not just the 12. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, and then after these things happened, he appointed 70 others also, and he sent them in the same way. And then in verse 2, it's like in my mind, I can see the 12. They've returned, a 70 are going. And Jesus looks at his guys and he goes, guys, truly, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. But the laborers are few. Like, I rejoice that every time we gather on Sundays here at TK campus, that we have hundreds of people that gather every week. But I'm sober to the reality that while hundreds gather in here, thousands are scattered out there who just like you and I are in need of a savior. We are living more and more in a biblically illiterate culture. All the statistics say it, and we can no longer assume that everybody's heard the gospel. We can no longer assume, maybe like we once did, that everybody knows the truth. We are living in days where, yeah, it's great that hundreds gather in here, but are we sober to the reality that thousands are scattered outside of these walls who potentially have never even heard the gospel, and even if they have, need messengers and ambassadors to go and call them back into relationship with Christ? Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, guys, the problem is not that we don't have a lot of opportunity. The problem is not that there's just not a lot of people interested. No, he said, the harvest is great. What's the problem then, Jesus? Oh, the laborers are few. The problem is that we got people like Pastor Brandon tapping his wife's leg going, hey, just enjoy the bread. What are you doing? Do you know how much we're paying for babysitting tonight? Just enjoy them. We don't have enough people who have forsaken comfort and convenience, personal ambition, desire for what they want, for the sake of saying, Jesus, I'm all in. Use me to go. You need people. Use me, God. Because life is short and eternity is real. I remember my wife and I keep bragging on her boldness. We were in a conversation with someone, and they were telling us how they were a Christian. They believed in Jesus, but their husband was an atheist. Now, let me just say, I'm not throwing rocks at that, because there's portions of Scripture that talk about how a believing spouse can actually be used by God to bring an unbelieving spouse to faith. But this was not the case. We're sitting at this conversation, and then they go, yeah, I'm totally a Christian. I love Jesus. You know, I'm all in, but my husband's an atheist. And here's what they said. They said, but I'm totally at peace with that, because I know that's their decision. Anybody ever start talking, and you looking at them like, oh, no, you didn't. We're sitting there, and I'm trying to keep cool. Like, my foot is tapping, like, oh, Lord Jesus, help us right now. Because my wife, I love my wife, she goes, really? With love and grace, she goes, so are you telling me that you are perfectly okay for your husband to go to hell and suffer eternal damnation forever? That's not what I'm saying. She goes, well, hold on for a second. But you said you're a Christian, though. And the very bedrock of our faith is a sobering conviction of eternity. The very bedrock of our faith is the sobering reality that sin deserves and has eternal consequences. The very bedrock of our faith is that sin is so devastating that God had to send his son in bodily form to live a life that we could not live, and then to take on his physical body through a gruesome death, all of the weight and the penalty of our sin. And then he, for 3 days, had to war and defeat death, hell, and the grave so that we could be reconciled and spend eternity. What do you mean you're not saying that? Because the very bedrock of our faith says that's exactly what you're saying. And I just don't think that we have enough people who are looking for opportunities. I don't think we have enough people who feel authorized. I don't think we have enough people who, in love, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God, who realize that Jesus, in his authority, has commanded me to go, and in his commanding me to go, has authorized me to do so. That I'm uninvitedly, unapologetically, with all the love and the grace and the humility and the Spirit of God helping me, looking for every opportunity to preach Christ, to call people to repentance and belief and confession of faith in him. Oh, we've been called by God. But the question is, have we embraced and received, or are we too busy being conformed to the pattern of this world, fitting into Luke chapter 10, verse 2, that Jesus goes, guys, I'm telling you, man, sin's not the problem. I'm trying to tell you guys, the world's getting darker is not the problem. Hey, I'm trying to tell you guys, social media is not the problem. I'm trying to tell you, all the things you keep on shifting blame on, it's not the problem. What's the problem then? That the harvest is great, but the laborers are too busy building their own personal kingdom, pursuing comfort and convenience, and trying to make life here on earth the best it can possibly be, having lost sight of eternity. That's the problem. The problem is that the laborers are few. Lastly, as we close today, I think we have to remember that this calling we've received from God, that it carries with it great responsibility and great privilege. It carries with it great responsibility and great privilege. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16, I want to read this to you. It's the Great Commission account from the Gospel of Mark. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach. That word preach doesn't have anything to do with a microphone. That word preach simply means to proclaim, to boldly declare something. Can I say, you're actually probably really, really good at preaching. Because you're probably preaching about something all the time, whether you know it or not. It's whatever you're passionate about. I was sitting at dinner last night, and I ordered some food, and the guy goes, "Oh, a lot of seed oils in that." Well, this man's preaching seed oils at dinner right now. I didn't know. What should I get? You're actually probably pretty good at preaching. It just means to proclaim, to be passionate about and to declare something is truth. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Listen to this part. "And he who believes and is baptized will be saved." Ask you a question. Those three words, "will be saved," are they a big deal to you? Do those three words feel important to you? Or do those three words seem very small and unimportant in comparison to the great life and priorities that you built for yourself? Because can I tell you something? Those three words mean a lot to God. Last week, we're sitting here in first service, Father's Day, and I get a text on my phone. My phone lights up. Grab real quick. And it's a guy that I haven't talked to in a very long time. And the text just said, "Man, I'm in a really tough spot. Can I come to church and sit with you?" Now, I would later find out, jokingly, he said, "I was really hoping you were preaching, because I knew if I texted you at that time, you wouldn't have your phone and you wouldn't respond, and then I'd be off the hook and I wouldn't have to come. But you weren't preaching. And you responded in like 5 seconds. Absolutely, you should come." So he came. We sat there last week, and during worship, he leans over and goes, "Hey, will you go up for prayer with me? I know I need prayer, but I'm too scared to go by myself." I said, "Yeah, let's go." So when we prayed together, after service, we're talking, and he's telling me just how much the service meant. And, "Man, Pastor Gil's message was so good. And here's the things that I received. Here's the things that are so meaningful to me." And I don't know where it came from other than the Holy Spirit, but just all of a sudden just came up in my thinking, "You need to ask him this question." I said, "Ask you a question, bro. I appreciate that the service was great. I appreciate that you felt really loved and welcome and you're really inspired. I ask you a question, though. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you made the decision to put your faith in him? Because I'm telling you, man, all the things that you're telling me that were so meaningful, they actually don't apply to you unless you're in the family, man. Like the things that were so meaningful and you feel inspired and you really want to like start doing and living, like that's awesome, but it's like saying, I want to be the best employee ever, but you don't work here, bro." And the starting point is, he goes, "Man, a long time ago, but I know it's not real to me." And we got to sit right there and take 60 seconds and grab hands and pray together. And he gave his life to Jesus. I'm driving home last Sunday, and here's what the Holy Spirit just prompted in me. Is that a big deal to you? Because it is to me. Is that significant to you? Because it is to me. Remember the Bible, it gives the story about the prodigal son, this young son who asked for his inheritance and went and wasted it all on sinful living and found himself at the bottom of the barrel, and he comes back hoping to just be a servant. And where is the father? He's waiting on the porch. And he goes and he meets this young man, his son, on his way home with open arms. The Bible says that I tell you the truth, that for every one that comes home, heaven celebrates. Because yeah, humanity matters, but individuals matter to God. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved." Whoa. hold on. You mean we're carrying today this great responsibility that we are the ambassadors? Heard one preacher say it this way. What if no one else is coming? What if God put you in that office because no one else is coming? What if God put that person on your heart to call or text or have lunch with because no one else is coming? What if you got in that awkward call because no one else is coming? I'm holding a great responsibility. Romans 10 says, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe in him who they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Can I tell you, you're holding something good today. Even if all you know is God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have life. You're holding something good. You've got good things in your hand today, sir. You've got something good in your heart, ma'am. You're holding something. You're holding glad tidings, good news. Bible goes, how are people supposed to believe in something they've never heard? How can they hear if no one goes? How can they go if no one sends them? My friends, Jesus, he is sending us. But by the way, all authority has been given to me. I am the Lord. Remember that. So I'm commissioning you. I'm commanding you to go. And to go in all the authority that I have given you. Don't you apologize. Don't you get timid. Don't you get bashful. Don't you start looking for an opportunity to order more bread. No, you go in the authorization that Jesus has given you, and you uninvitedly, unapologetically look for every opportunity to be a bearer of good news, of glad tidings. And what a privilege. Are you kidding me? And anyone who believes, they will be saved. Those three words matter to you? Are you kidding me? The opportunity we have to be a part of people's story, to eternally go from death to life, to eternally have fellowship and relationship with God, to get free from addictions and bondages and demonic oppressions that are ruining their life and ruining. We have the opportunity. What a privilege, but what a responsibility we hold. So like what do I do with this, and where do I go from here? Here's what I want to encourage you with. I want to encourage you this morning that you don't go, all right, I'm going to do it. Because dare I say, that has not worked for us ever. But bear with me, I'll close with this. It's like you said that already. I know. I think I had 5 closings in first service. Think about the 12 disciples. They had the greatest ministry training of all time. For 3 years, they lived with Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They heard every sermon. And after every sermon, they got a behind-the-scenes sneak peek. They got to ask questions, get explanation. They watched every miracle. They watched dead people rise. They watched Jesus walk on the water. Peter even walked on the water momentarily. They were part of the miracles. Remember the multiplying of the bread? Literally, the miracle was in their hand as bread was multiplying. And yet, Jesus goes, guys, you need to go. And in Acts chapter 1, he goes, whoa, where are you going, bro? No. You need to wait. Because despite all your ministry training and experience and the great Bible study you did, if you do not have the help of the Holy Spirit, you will fall on your face. Heard a pastor say this, it is impossible to represent a supernatural God in your natural ability. I think we forget that Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Did you know that you can't make yourself a fisher of men? You can't empower yourself and just get enough discipline and will. No, you will fail every time. And I wonder if part of the reason why we even have to have this conversation, why we so epically fall on our face when it comes to the Great Commission so often, is because we've just been trying to do it in our own strength. Yeah, I got to do better at that. I know I got to do better at telling people about Jesus. All right, next time we have a company picnic, I'll volunteer to pray and I'll throw in there a little gospel something, you know. No, the starting point is bending your knee to Jesus, sir. The starting point, ma'am, is putting all of your passions and priorities and your ambitions and your version of what you want life to be, laying it at his feet and saying, King Jesus, you are the Lord. And I bow my knee to you and I give my life to you and say, I will follow you. Wherever you tell me to go, I will go. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. Whatever you ask me to say, you are the Lord. And I'm asking you that you would help me to become a fisher of men. Do you know where engaging the Great Commission starts? You following Jesus. You stop being the Lord of your life. You start being the master and the boss of all things. You submit your heart and humble yourself and say, Jesus, you are the Lord, and I will follow you at all costs. And you watch how following Jesus, something begins to happen. And like he did with these 12 men, he starts to make you into a fisher of men. He starts to change you and transform you, to fill you, to empower you. He makes you into something. He gives you the ability that you cannot make yourself into, and you do not have the ability to do for yourself. Oh, friends, we have been called and commissioned by Jesus to live on mission. We can't do it on our own. We need him, the Lord, to help us, to empower us as we follow him. Would you stand up on your feet today as we close? And as we close, I'd like to pray for you today. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you the opportunity today to just where you are, respond to King Jesus. Respond to the Lord, the master, the ruler of all things, who holds all authority. God is speaking to you individually and personally, and in that way, would you maybe just take a minute under your breath and respond to Jesus? Lord, I hear you speaking to me today. God, I repent for being the Lord, the boss of my own life. God, I'm choosing to bow my knee to you today. Help me, make me, mold me, shape me, God, to be someone who's living on mission. Father, I pray for us as a collective today. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would fill us more than ever before with a passion for reaching our world, with a passion for those who are lost, who are desperate and in need of a Savior. Father, I pray today that you would help us, like these 12 men did, to bow our knee and to follow you. And I pray that as we follow you, Lord Jesus, that you would make us into fishers of men. You would empower us, God, to go into our world. I pray that it would hit us this morning that in the authority that you've had, you've commanded us, but you've given us the authorization to go. And I pray a spirit of boldness, eyes that see every opportunity, words that are not of our own, that they would fill us. We'd see them. We'd be empowered, God, and we'd be able to go in the authority you've given us, and we would begin to live on mission. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us with this. We cannot do it in of our own strength. We need help today. So would you help us, and would you empower us today in the name of Jesus?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.